Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. We are back from the Indy Disney meet this past weekend, where we got together with lots of friends in the Disney community and raised, get this, an additional $40,000 for Give Kids the World. It was an amazing Saturday, so thanks to everybody who came out. It's time for listener questions here on a Wednesday. We're going to help Jessica chill. She says she's only going to take another Walt Disney World vacation if she can chill out a little bit. So here are our thoughts on that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation, even to chill with style. Right now, I'm looking down at my iPhone 7 Plus, and I can see that we're down to 133 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019. Can you believe it? 133 days. We'll be going to the Expo and getting ready to toe the line for the Dopey Challenge. Maybe some folks are just running the 10, the 5, maybe the half or the full. It's going to be a great weekend with Lizards, and I'm getting excited every time I place a call, get a text, or post to social media. I see how many days I have left to go. I'm looking at a great picture of Toy Story. Yesterday, it was Big Thunder Mountain. Get you pumped for that next trip. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the Be Our Guest podcast the easiest way possible. You know you're going to do online shopping. You know you're going to visit Amazon. Next time you go to Amazon, click through our link. It gives us a little support, and we appreciate it so much. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1374 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that you are having a great midweek. We are coming off an awesome, awesome weekend out in Noblesville, Indiana at the Hamilton County Fairgrounds. You heard us talk about it quite a bit. It was the Indy Disney meet. We had a great time. We did a live show out there, which you are going to hear on Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to hear somebody win a Walt Disney World vacation. It's amazing.
You are.
We're also going to speak to Steven from Give Kids World. So great show heading your way on Friday. But first, let's get to today's show. And joining me, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Ricky, we're back, and we don't have the Bangladesh bronchitis, but that's not what it is. It's the Budapest? No, it's not.
Budapest. Budapest.
That's the Budapest bronchitis like Pam has right now, so.
Not that I know of, no. Although I feel a little cruddy, but I think that that's just me, so. And, I was on an airplane, so you never know what you catch on an airplane, but that's all right.
I try to catch peanuts, but apparently Southwest is not serving peanuts anymore.
No more peanuts. No more peanuts. So, yeah. You're catching pretzels on Southwest now.
Sometimes you get those Belvita bars, which are not the best. I mean, some people love them. I'm not a fan.
See, I know you get those on Delta, and I like the, you get the, not the Belvita ones, but you get the, oh my gosh, I forget, but they're the gingerbready flavor ones. Oh my gosh, I love those ones that they serve on Delta. Sometimes I like to fly Delta in the morning just so I can have those ones.
I'm just a simple man.
They're not breakfast bars, but they serve them at breakfast.
I'm a simple man. I just need some peanuts and a Coke Zero, and I'm really good to go. And I appreciate, I have friends that are pilots. I won't say who, but sends me his free drink coupons, and I usually use those in the evenings. I feel bad because I usually fly out early in the morning. And I don't want to be the first, schmuck to order a margarita at, 9:30 in the morning, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Should I? No.
I think you're fine.
I'm getting them for free, so.
You gotta do what you gotta do, I'm just saying. So
Tony's asking if we're coming back to the Indy Disney meet next year. Absolutely. As long as we're asked, we will always, always be there. We had a great time. So, Ricky, real quick, what were your thoughts on Indy? We did a great, it was a lot of fun. It was packed.
Yeah, I said this on my own private show that I did on Facebook.
Nice. You're trying to take over because you made my power go out right as we hit record.
It was absolutely my, I was telling power, go out, go out, go out, so I can do this all on my own. No, but you know what? I have to say, I was absolutely floored by the Indy Disney meet this year. I mean, I'm floored by it every year because, seriously, it's just one of those things where it's just incredible, the amount of Disney love that's out there and everything like that. And so, but this place was packed. I mean, packed for 4 hours nonstop. We were talking to people, which is great. I mean, I loved it, but you know, I mean, you could not see the floor. I mean, that's how busy it was in there. So it was just so much fun, and they raised over $40,000 for Give Kids the World, which is what the whole thing is about and what I love. So congratulations to them for raising a huge amount of money for Give Kids the World. And yeah, it was a great event filled with friends and just awesomeness. So if you stopped by the booth and said hello, yes. We were so glad to meet you. And you know, it was just a fantastic day.
Shout out to Caleb. What's up? Thanks for listening. We love our younger listeners. It was a lot of fun. And thanks for all the selfies and the kind words and coming by and just it was awesome. And all the other podcasters that were there. You guys were awesome. We loved getting to see you and talk. Absolutely. And it was so much fun. So let's get to the questions. We have a lot in the chat, but I'm going to lead it off with one that came to the inbox. It's from Jessica. And the title of this one's Help Me Chill, Please. I thought it was Help Me Get Chilly. So I was like, oh, the steak and chili.
Oh, chilly. Cool. But no, it's not. Chilly.
She says, just found this podcast and love all your positivity and great suggestions. We have a trip coming up in the first full week of February. It'll be our third trip in 5 years, and we've done all the must-dos, except for the new areas that have been open since our stay in October of 2016. Yes, for Hurricane Matthew. It's okay. We needed the parks to close to force ourselves to stop and rest. I told my family of three that we would only do Disney this February only, and this was all caps, if we can have a chill vacation. I'm all about not needing to worry about prepping meals, cleaning up after anyone, and having plenty of time to relax, not making every single rope drop and rolling into our resort every night. What tips do you have to keep the week chill and relaxed? We're staying at Port Orleans Riverside, a step up from our usual spot of Pop Century. I like the idea of the nicer pool, fishing, a boat ride to Disney Springs. We tend to vacation hard, even with midday breaks, and need help taking it down a few notches so we don't need a vacation from our vacation. Thanks so much, Jessica. And you know what? I like this question because I think that even the hardest core Disney fan can benefit from something like this, because once you have a taste of chill, I think it helps you find balance in your future trips. We saw this summer when we all went down. Ricky, you were there for a couple days where we spent a lot of time really, really chilling. Now, it didn't mean we didn't go to the parks. We went to the parks almost every day, but we might go to the parks just in an evening, you know, or just in a morning, you know, and stay. So what are your suggestions to slow down and chill? Because I know that you're more the park person and Brian's more the chill guy.
Yes, he is definitely more the chilly chill guy. So what we do is kind of, it's kind of what we talked about recently with that show. It's partially the reason why we get up late and don't go in the parks as early. And, you know, just that way Brian doesn't kind of get burnt out. So that's kind of why we do the, you know, don't get to the parks until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon type situation. Cause that way we're not getting burnt out and we're still spending a good part of the day there, but you know, we're not spending all day there. So, and of course we also make sure that we get some sort of meal, breakfast usually or something like that. So that's usually what we do to kind of chill. If we're looking to chill while we're in the parks, we'll go find a spot that's usually kind of a little secluded. So one of our favorite places to go is over in Tom Sawyer Island at the Magic Kingdom. We'll go over there, rest on the rocking chairs, although they've moved my rocking chairs now. And there used to be two sitting right next to each other overlooking Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And now there's one overlooking Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and the other one has disappeared to somewhere else in Tom Sawyer Island. And I'm halfway tempted to pick up the chair and move it over to my spot.
You would. I could see it. Ma'am, that is not meant to be your personal chair to take with you to Adventureland.
This is totally my chair. But there's lots of little spots that you can do that and stop and just kind of relax a little bit while you're in the parks too, which is very handy.
Mine is just, you know, you're staying at Riverside. There is a lot to do there. And when you combine that, you said the perfect thing. You want to spend some time at Disney Springs. Disney Springs now is a place that you're still going, so you don't feel guilty about wasting time, you know, in air quotes here, but you're dining. There's entertainment there. You can go bowling. That's really chill. Go to Splitsville. There's the Void. If you're a big Star Wars fan, you want to see the cutting edge virtual reality experience, which we're going to talk about in an upcoming podcast. You know, there's a lot of outside the box things now at Disney Springs that aren't so intense, like a theme park day can be. But sleep in. The pool at Riverside, remember, at Riverside, you can also hop to French Quarter. You have access to two great pools with slides, with pool bars, and with great dining options. So, you know, just spend a day there. I know it's tough, but I mean, that, you know, you spend the day at Riverside and you don't want to waste the night away. So you go to Disney Springs. That's a great night. Never stepped into a theme park. And, you know, then go to a theme park when the itch hits and then, you know, chill again. I mean, it can be done and it's a great trip, but it's tough when you're like a commando park person. I know. But I know. Trust me, like we played board games by the pool when we were down there this summer.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, I definitely enjoyed getting to just relax with you guys. I mean, I don't usually sit by the pool and stuff like that, but I did that when I was with you guys and it really was nice just to kind of chill by the pool and relax though. So, I mean, there are things that are nice about sitting by the pool and just relaxing. And it's hard because you sometimes feel like you're missing out, and I get it.
Yeah.
But tough. You're not missing out. You're having fun with your family, either way. So, I mean, you know, you're still having fun.
What I get is you feel like you're missing out. Yeah. You feel like you're missing out, but then you get into the theme park and it's like hot and it's packed and you're like,
yeah.
Oh, I wish I would have stayed back. I know it's catch-22 kind of thing, but I think Hannah brought travel versions of like Yahtzee. There was, you know, a few easy travel games, and we sat at a table at the pool at Polynesian and played. And we upped the stakes a little bit. If you hit a Yahtzee, you had to do a belly flop into the pool. Like, and it had to be like, you couldn't bend your knees. You had to smack, you know. So, I mean, we made it fun. So, and we got a great boomerang of Steve Forrester hitting it hard.
Yes,
because he hit a Yahtzee. All right, next one is the title of this one, Cherry Bombs Questions. So I was intrigued by this one. So here we go.
Okay.
Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I have 8 families for a total of 34 people from our daughter's soccer team going to Walt Disney World and doing Magic Kingdom and Epcot together before some cruise. Some do different parks or stay of various lengths. So the Cherry Bombs, they're apparently a soccer team.
Awesome.
we used to have a team that was one of our rivals. We were the Red Devils, but our rivals were the Hot Tamales when Paige was younger. So I get it. That's a good soccer team name. Two dining questions. Number one, Ricky, here we go. If one family has a pre-park opening Akershus reservation, they will not be using. Can another family in our group use it with a printed confirmation? Will there be any issue in getting into the park if it's not in their name? We didn't want to risk losing it electronically with timing and a cancellation and rebooking it. All right, so what do you think? So they want to transfer an Akershus pre-park opening because you do have to show a confirmation to be able to, because they have you queue up. Usually it's far to the left, I think.
That's true.
That's where it was when we did Akershus last time. But they do verify that you do have a reservation. Now, do they check it against ID? I don't know that they do that.
I don't know that they do that either. I have obvious. You know I don't get up there for pre-park opening breakfast, right? Like, you know, happen for me.
I mean, we're guessing. I would say you're going to be fine as long as you have the confirmation number and matches
exactly
what's on
right.
their sheet.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to, you know. But, I mean, the thing is, you know, again, they could get real strict, but I think you're going to be okay with that as long as you have the confirmation number. Two, we have several reservations for 8:15 to 8:30 p.m. dinners at La Hacienda. Any tips for trying to sit together nearby each other or kids together, adults together? The third choice is your best choice, but all the kids together and the adults get margaritas.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, that was an aside. Should we call Disney Dining in advance or arrive early? I would do both. I would try to note that they're going to have a really tough time with that many people sitting nearby. But if you let the host or hostess know at check-in, they could probably maybe put like 3 groups together, you know, smaller, like little pods, and you could kind of decide how that works. That's what I would say, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that would work out well.
All right, so she says, we create a secret Facebook group to share plans, updates, excitement, info, etc. Any advice is greatly appreciated. We enjoy your Facebook Mondays and you keeping the magic alive for all of us every week. Hope listener George in Hawaii is spared this weekend. Mahalo, Jennifer and Amy. And have you, I think George was actually, he looked like Jim Cantore the other day giving an update. You know, he was out there updating things and I think he came through fine, but actually I heard there's another hurricane that's going to miss him to the east, but it is out in the area. It's in the neighborhood, so.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy!
They've angered the gods.
Yeah, I think he's okay, so that's good news. But yeah, that's insane. Wow, that's a lot of hurricanes for Hawaii.
All right, let's get to some of these that are here in the chat real quick, and let's fire through these quickly. Andrew's got one. Anyone know how many tickets are sold for early morning Magic Fantasyland? Of course, Disney doesn't ever release ticket information, but I mean, it's not a huge amount. I don't think it's that super popular. I'm just guessing. I don't think it's real popular, which is good if you're going to it.
I mean, I don't think that. I don't think that like sells out ever. So I think you're fine. I really don't know what the max number of people would be for that though. But I can't imagine it's very huge.
All right, Lizard with a question from Dallas, Nancy Turner. What are your thoughts about Tables in Wonderland? I'm an AP already and wondered if it was worth getting it. So here's what I say about Tables in Wonderland, because I've had it and I've not had it since I've had an AP. I had it for about three consecutive years, about four or five years ago. When I stopped getting it was when, and Disney's going to love hearing this, when I stopped getting it was when Disney started offering more aggressive annual pass holder dining discounts. And I think with some dining locations, it was up to 20%. Right?
It was.
Okay,
yes.
So because of that, I was thinking that Tables in Wonderland, it took longer for it to start being a profit thing for me. You know, because if I didn't have those discounts, obviously you're getting your money back a lot quicker. Now, the thing I will say with Tables in Wonderland is you get discounts on alcohol. So if you are going to enjoy, you know, a bottle of wine with every dinner or a couple of beers or something, that's where I think it would make sense. But I think most people going two or three times a year for maybe like 10 to 15 to 20 days a year, your annual pass, because the thing is, with your annual pass, you're not going to be out anything if you don't use it. But if you buy a Tables in Wonderland and only end up going for a week, you kind of usually come out behind. Ricky, your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. And I feel like it's gone up a lot in price over the past few years, that the break-even point does tend to be a little bit higher too. So that makes a big difference as well. Again, I hate to say this, you have to do the math and kind of figure out where you're planning on dining and what you're planning on getting and seeing if it will end up working out for your family. I do miss the discounts though that they had for annual passes, because they stopped rolling those out this year. So darn it.
All right, Samantha Hernandez has a question here in the chat. First time annual pass holder here. Does this mean I'm not eligible for free dining specials ever? Usually it requires room and ticket packages. All right, so I'll jump on this, because the free dining is some dates, not a lot of dates in 2019. It's a bounce back right now for Walt Disney World. But you do have to have a minimum of a four-day park hopper ticket for everybody on the package to qualify for the free dining. Now, this could change at any point, but they're always going to have a ticket on there because that's how they make it make sense for them. They're not going to give you free dining without buying a ticket, because then they're just giving you, you know, they're not doing it out of the kindness of their heart. They're selling expensive tickets by doing this. So, but remember, with an annual pass, the one thing you can do is take that ticket, not use it, and use that for your, it'll credit that amount towards your annual pass renewal, which a lot of people do. So you got to, again, I hate to say, Ricky, I hate to say what you just said. You got to crunch the numbers. Is that dining plan going to come out ahead if you get free food for a length of stay? That if you're deluxe, you know, if you're staying at a deluxe and you're getting the full standard dining plan and you're staying for 10 days and you got enough people, you know, it just, you got to crunch the numbers, because sometimes getting those 4-day hoppers and just holding onto them, knowing you're going to renew, you can do that and you can come out ahead. But, you know, it's kind of, you just, your mileage may vary and you got to kind of look and see your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. You definitely have to do the math to figure out whether free dining is the better option. You know, to be able to get free dining is a better option, or the annual pass is the better option. And, you know, I went the annual pass route. So, you know, that can tell you right there the way that I chose.
All right, Tracy Pearson, I'll be at Walt Disney World in mid-November. What's the best way to do Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom on the same day using Fast Passes? Ricky, this one's up your alley. So best way to get into the studios and Animal Kingdom same day with Fast Passes. What would you do?
If you have the Fast Pass, you have that. I would make your Fast Pass for Animal Kingdom for in the afternoon, evening. And I would head to the park first at Hollywood Studios and do Toy Story Land. That's how I would do it.
Agreed. I think that's a good plan. Yeah. I mean,
Because you don't really, I mean, the lines aren't as long for Toy Story Land right now. So I think you're going to be okay if you get there, you know, first thing in the morning and head over there and do all the Toy Story Land stuff. And then, but, you know, Animal Kingdom, Pandora, Flight of Passage, that sucker still has a huge line first thing in the morning even. So your best bet is, if you can, get the Fast Pass for Flight of Passage and do that in the middle of the afternoon. Because personally, I like Animal Kingdom at night much better. It's much less hot. Mm-hmm. Definitely not Animal Kingdom hot in the evening. And, you know, it's just, I like the atmosphere of Animal Kingdom at night. I mean, not to say that I don't like the atmosphere at Hollywood Studios at night too, but I just think there's something really special about Animal Kingdom at night.
You know what? I think, too, the thing is, if you could go back a second time to Toy Story Land at night, because it's beautiful at night, too, but it's beautiful in a different way than Pandora. Pandora's, like, breathtaking. Toy Story's pretty at night, I think, if I had to describe it. But, you know, you can... I think, you know, moving forward, I don't think Alien Swirling Saucers is going to have a huge weight. I think this one's going to start dropping dramatically because, to me, it's not like a headliner attraction. It's kind of a one and done for myself. And I think that's not one and done, but it's not a must do. It's something Alien, akin to like, it's like a teacups or like a, like a Winnie the Pooh or something like that at the Magic Kingdom. Like, I can do it if I want to, but I don't need to.
It was necessary, though. They didn't have anything like at Hollywood Studios. So that part's good. I mean, they have something that's sort of like that. But, I mean, it's not like, if I miss it, I miss it. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. Now I feel that a lot of other people, once they get on it and ride it, will feel about it moving forward, too.
Yep. But you could just stroll through Toy Story Land at night, you know, on a second night. You know, and maybe if Alien Swirling Saucers is short line, hop on that. Maybe just stand by Slinky Dog or... Toy Story's been, you know, a lot quicker getting through that line as well, Toy Story Mania, and get you some tachos, and there's a good night, too. So, second night. There you go, tachos. All right, Adrian Dillo in the chat says, hey, love the podcast. We're going to Walt Disney World the first week of December on our Animal Kingdom Day. We have a dinner reservation at Sanaa at 8:15 p.m. Would it be worth it to stay in the park and see Rivers of Light and go to Animal Kingdom Lodge when it's over, or should we go earlier to explore Animal Kingdom Lodge a little bit before dinner? So, this one, again, a tough question. I am not the biggest fan of Rivers of Light. It's kind of like NyQuil to me. And I know it's different strokes for different folks, and that's what I love about Walt Disney World. I don't have to like everything. That show, and that is great because I want everything. Everybody has different opinions, and it's great that there's different things for everybody. I love that. Just Rivers of Light is not my thing. There's nothing blowing up. There's no characters. It's okay. It's pretty. It's pretty. I give it that. But I would go to Animal Kingdom Lodge, especially if you've never been there, explore Jumbo House, and then make your way down to Kidani for Sanaa. What would you say? Would you do Rivers of Light?
I do like Rivers of Light, though. I'm one of the weirdos who actually likes Rivers of Light. It's pretty.
It's pretty. Yes, it is pretty. Boring. No, I didn't say that. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so the option is see Rivers of Light... and then go to dinner? Was that what it was? Or what was it?
They have an 8:15 dinner at Sanaa. So should they go into Animal Kingdom Park before dinner at Animal Kingdom Lodge to see Rivers of Light? Or should they just go to Sanaa, you know, say go to Animal Kingdom Lodge at like 7 o'clock and explore the lodge instead?
But then there is something to be said about, like, you know, using the night vision goggles at Animal Kingdom Lodge too, and, you know, being there for that too. So I don't know. It's tough.
It's going to be a lot more work to go into Animal Kingdom to see Rivers of Light. That's actually a lot of effort.
It is a lot of effort. That's kind of why I was leaning towards. Even though I like Rivers of Light, that's kind of why I was leaning towards the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Well, like with the 8:15 dinner at Sanaa, you know, you could consider that kind of like a, you know, I don't, she didn't say this, but almost like a date night where you kind of dress a little nicer and make it a really fancy night where you're probably not going to do that if you're trudging through Animal Kingdom Park and then... catching a bus over to Animal Kingdom Lodge or going back to your car or whatever. It's going to be a lot more effort. So if you want to chill this night with, you know, dinner and drinks, I'd go to the lodge and kind of stroll around and head down to Sanaa.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Matt Brown's up. Since we're first-time Disney cruisers, will we have any issues trying to get reservations at Palo or other excursions? I know the higher-level cruisers get to book further out. We're sailing on a 7-day out of Galveston on the Disney Wonder. Love the show. Cards are on a real hot streak lately. Yes, it's all about the salsa, people. All about the salsa. And they're hotter than my house was getting when the power went out a half an hour ago. So just saying, it was smoking. They're smoking. So look out, Cubby Bears. All about the salsa. Anyway, so first-time cruisers don't... Okay, first of all, Matt, you are going to have an amazing time. Disney Cruise Line is like none other. Here's the good news for you, because you're right. The concierge guests and the platinum guests get to book first. Then you got your golds. Then you got your silvers. Then you got Matt Brown booking his excursions and Paulo and all that stuff. Yes. All the other first-time cruisers. But here's the good news. They hold back a lot of them to be booked on board. So if you don't get it initially during your online check-in, they hold back a sufficient amount to keep the guests happy on board. So just when you get on board, ask, like, okay, where do I go to make my Palo reservation? Go there quickly. Don't even go to the buffet. Go to Palo. Whenever it opens, be there. You'll get what you want. Excursions, some might sell out. But the thing that sells out is the cabanas at Castaway Key. You probably won't get one of those, but those are expensive anyways. You're saving money. What do you think?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ricky. Those are very expensive. Yeah, I will say that for my cruise here in September, I'm a Silver Castaway Club member. And granted, this cruise seemingly seems to be skewed more adult. However, with all that being said, I could not get into Palo for brunch. So I'm going to have to go on the day I board the ship to try to get Palo brunch. I could get dinner, but I couldn't get brunch. So that's something that, you know, even I had trouble as a Silver Castaway member. I couldn't do it. So, you know, just don't fear if you do see that, oh, no, it's sold out. It's not sold out, at least with Palo or Remy. Sometimes you can just go up and ask.
And things like,
when you ship.
You got to think about that because brunch is very limited. You know, you only have it on a certain day and you have it for certain hours, where dinner's every single night. So you obviously have more slots to fill there. And I will say, you're sailing out of Galveston. That's working to your favor because that's not one of the, what I've seen is, you know,
although
from the travel agent.
I'm sailing out of New York and
what we see, though, as travel agents, the ship's going out of Galveston, the sailings going out of Galveston tend to not sail full, so that's good. And they tend to not be a lot of your like platinum and gold people. It's a lot of first time. It's more skewed towards new cruisers, you know, folks down in the southeast or like Texas and the southwest, actually. Let's see here. Joanne says, if you're going to get tables in Wonderland and you drink alcohol, it's a good deal. So there you go. Some feedback there.
There you go.
Let's see. Max. We love Max. He's always in our chat with us. Let me pop this one up on the screen. If I booked a first haircut for my son and another haircut for my toddler at Harmony, is it greedy to get my haircut too, or should I let them take center stage? Yeah, everybody gets a haircut. Depends how shaggy you are, I guess.
That's right. You get one too. Go ahead. I think that's fair.
All right, yeah, get one. You know, you don't want to look shaggy. You know, here's what I found, though. I was getting my hair cut there all the time, but now I kind of get it cut before I go down. I just like to be ready to go. But yeah, I need to go back to Harmony Barbershop. I love it. Next question. Yay or boo to the Hallowishes dessert party? Hello, BOGP crew. I'm planning my Disney World 2019 trip, but this seems relevant to now, so I thought I would ask. Obviously, we want to make the most of the Halloween party, so I have a question. Is the Hallowishes dessert party worth it? It looks like, from the website, the viewing is from Tomorrowland Terrace, and I'm wondering if eating all those desserts would just eat up precious party time. Would it be better off? Would we be better off just snagging a spot like normal and adding on this extra? Thanks for all the amazing advice. It's helped more than I can say. Mickey McGee. All right, Mickey, boo to you. I just had to say that. I think it's the first time I've said it this year. Boo to you. And we're all singing it the rest of the day. And
we are. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so anyway, here's my take on this. Ricky, you want to hear my take?
Yes, I do.
You're getting all kinds of free candy during the party. This is the one time you don't have to pay extra money for all the sweets because you're going to, if you like that kind of candy, which I love that kind of candy, I am good to go because I'm already paying enough for the Halloween party. I don't want to spend time doing that. I do want to see Hallowishes.
Yes.
But it's not easy to get a good spot for Hallowishes, but it's definitely doable. And you're going to have a bag full of candy. So really, you're kind of like a mobile dessert party in the first place anyway. Go ahead.
And it's not as, I don't think it's as necessary to have the dessert party for Hallowishes as it maybe is for Happily Ever After. The reason why I think it's a little more necessary for Happily Ever After is because really, you need to see the projections for Happily Ever After. And the best way to do that is by having the dessert party, because you're in a, especially if you're in the one in the main, you know, the grass area, not at the Tomorrowland Terrace if you choose to do that option. But for Hallowishes, really, there are some little projections on them, but it's not like the projection show that you see for Happily Ever After. So with all that being said, you can kind of see Hallowishes a little bit further back even and still have a good show. So I agree with you, actually. I was going to say, don't do the dessert party, even though you can do the dessert party and get the Plaza Gardens view as an option. I still say save your money. They're going to have a ton. If you haven't looked, I mean, well, you're going next year, but for this year, they have a ton of specialty desserts that they're selling. So my suggestion, and this is what I did last year, because that's when they started really bringing these specialty desserts out, is to grab a couple of those specialty desserts you'll save a lot of money because the special desserts, while they're a little pricey, they're still less money than the dessert party. And you'll get to snack on, if you know, you can share them amongst your family, that kind of thing, if you so choose. And then you can have a spot for Hall Wishes, and you're going to be able to get a spot for Hall Wishes. I think you won't have a problem, especially if you get there a little, you know, early. You know, I think you're going to be fine. But I personally agree with, I can't believe I'm going to say these words. I agree with Mike Rallman.
There you go. And I agreed with you earlier today. We had a question.
I know,
for
you
guest,
did agree with me. So totally. See, it's reciprocal.
It is. So yeah, I agree. You know, you just don't waste your time. The Halloween party is so fun, and it goes like at breakneck speed, especially for Halloween fan, man. It's
so
fast.
Packed.
Oh, you just want to go forever.
I mean, once it gets started at 7 o'clock, I mean, you're going boom, 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 boom to try to hit everything. Yeah.
And it is. Can you believe we've already had like 2 or 3 parties already?
That's insane.
It's like it's 107 heat index right now in St. Louis, but we've had 3 or 4 Halloween parties in Florida already.
Celebrate Halloween.
I just remember when I was a kid how cold I was some years going out for Halloween.
I know. And right now you're just dripping sweat if you're down there in Florida.
Well, I did almost die as Captain EO that 1 year right after we started the podcast.
That's
our,
true.
Our first Epic October. Actually, September. I don't know. It was one of the races.
It was a big event. It was hot.
Anyway, this email is titled, "What a Crummy Uncle." How about that?
Oh.
So, again, good. When you give us a good title, you're probably going to get to the top of the queue. So here we go. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. My wife, daughter, and I will be going to the world in February of 2019, and we'll be bringing my niece. It is her first trip, and her birthday is just a few days after our trip. Being the crummy uncle that I am, I bought her a kid's park hopper ticket because I thought she was 9 years old going on 10. Well, she's 10 going on 11. Oops.
Oh, geez.
So I have a kid's
ticket. Don't worry, I would do the same thing.
I think I would too. I have no idea how old. You know, like to the 1 year that my like nephews are. So
I used to know, but I probably couldn't tell you. I don't know anymore. When they hit like 9, 10, 11, 12, it all kind of runs together, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, Grant, Grayson, Taylor, and Jared, and Austin. Sorry about that. I'm a crummy uncle too.
Me too. Oh, I'm a crummy aunt. Yeah.
So I have a kid's ticket for her, and she is older than the age limit for the ticket. What do I do? Can I upgrade it to an adult ticket? Do I risk running afoul of the mouse and just use it? I really don't want to risk the embarrassment of being called out for trying to use a kid's ticket for her since she is supposed to have an adult ticket, but I'm certainly not throwing away nearly $500 worth of admission just because I forgot what year my niece was born in. Thank you for your insight on this matter and for the tremendous amount of work you do on this podcast. It truly brightens my day listening to you guys talk about my favorite place on earth. Matt's up in West Hartford, Connecticut. And he says, P.S., could you give a shout out to my daughter Annabelle and my niece Olivia? They would love it. Absolutely not. We don't do shout outs on the podcast, Art.
No, sorry, Annabelle and Olivia, not doing any shout outs.
Well, first of all, Olivia, I'm sorry that you have a crummy uncle like Matt. I mean, that's too bad. And Annabelle, sorry, it sounds like you have a crummy dad. Make sure your dad knows how old you are.
That's right. Yes, he may need to know that.
I hope he knows that. All right. So what would you do in this situation? Because you know what? He sounds like he's a little nervous. Like he's like me. Like I would think that Disney, like if I tried to get a kid through, and especially because my kid's like 6 foot tall and she's 10. Like it ain't happening with Mallory. Like everybody's like, she's 10? She's in what? Because she looks a little older. You can just go to the guest services window, guest relations. And just tell them what happened, and they'll just upgrade it to an adult ticket. And they'll gladly take that upgrade money. You're not buying a new ticket. You're just paying the difference in the price, which isn't a lot. It's very minimal. So I would do that so you're not sweating bullets. Now, you could probably sneak her through. I'm not saying you probably couldn't. Ricky would probably try that. But
no!
I'm just...
I was going to say the same thing. Oh, just go to guest relations. They will be happy to help assist you in this matter. This is not the first time somebody has gotten the wrong age for some kid in their family. I can guarantee it.
Now, they might give you a strange look, but just be like, look, it's my niece. I got my kid. I bet you they get kids like that. I bet you they have way worse every day. Like they miss their kids how old they are by years. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes.
All right. The next question, the title of it's difficult question.
Oof.
I almost just deleted this one. Sorry. I'm like, sorry, wrong show. So it says, hello, BOGP. I have quite a daunting question for you.
This
past year, I had the wonderful opportunity to be a cast member through the Disney College program. And I also got to meet a lot of BOGP listener family because of this.
Awesome.
I know, that is awesome. I love this. The only thing is, I know Ashley is a Razorback fan down in Arkansas. So I'm not giving her a... Ooh, pig suey or whatever they say. Never mind.
Sorry.
Through.
I promise
I can read. I don't know. It's a long weekend. Through being an Animal Kingdom cast member, I found my own little cast member family at Discovery Island. Some of us stayed at the World, and some have moved all throughout the United States. I have somehow convinced my little Disney family to reunite and run the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. I ran it during my program and have been the Run Disney advocate for our group. Because of my Run Disney experience and planning nature, I am in charge of planning our small trip with 7 people. I want to plan something special after we all finish the race, but it is quite hard to find something that a group of former and current cast members haven't done. Do you have any suggestions for a proper and unique celebration? Thank you so much and have a wild day, Ashley. That's awesome. I love it. Ashley, also for making the magic. We love our cast members. Yes. Ricky, what? Because your brother has been a cast member, and sometimes he goes back and forth. He's over at Universal sometimes. And so, if he was getting together a bunch of cast member friends at Disney, and they had to find something they haven't done, or I doubt you're going to find anything that nobody's
done,
right?
Anything that you haven't,
what would you do? Maybe I would do like a fireworks cruise. You know what? Because probably most people have done it, but that's like a communal thing. And now you can get like shrimp on the boat. You can get candy, cupcakes. What are they have all kinds of stuff you can get on there. Chocolate covered strawberries, all kinds of stuff.
No, I was thinking that. I actually was thinking kind of a private dessert party or private boat ride or maybe a dessert party or maybe. Here's one thing that I would suggest maybe doing, and granted, it's not like super exciting, but I think it would be a good thing to do, is I would make sure that you have bought a memory maker for this trip, and that way you can celebrate, because that way, first of all,
somebody's got to have an annual pass, don't you think? Well,
Cast members might not. Yeah, they probably don't. So if somebody doesn't have an annual pass, I would absolutely make sure you have Memory Maker or so the ability to get the photos, because you're going to have the photos while you're running too. So you're going to want those. But that way you can do some like celebratory photos afterwards, of, hey, you're all here with medals, that kind of thing. And then the other option I was thinking is, make sure you guys go out for a really nice, good dinner. One of the favorite places for us to always do it is Via Napoli. Get one of the giant pizzas and just, I know that you guys have probably done that, but sometimes it's about the camaraderie of being together and the fact that you've done this. And so I think that's even if it's something you've already done, it's still going to be special because you guys have all completed this task. So I think that's a good thing.
And if you have the word camaraderie in the Be Our Guest podcast bingo today, as you're listening to the show, you can check that box off. There you go.
Check mark. Okay, good.
Yeah, go to Via Napoli and order the 7.5
meter
pizza.
At least I used that word right this time. So, sometimes I don't use words correctly. It's fine.
You haven't used charcuterie in like a month.
We have not used the word charcuterie. Do you love me a good charcuterie?
You do. And Joanne in the chat definitely does. She said Jay got her a fireworks cruise for her birthday and she says best present ever. I think it's just a great because
awesome.
You just feel like a VIP. You're with everybody that you care about. You can have a great time. It's just, I've done it a few times. They're fun. All right, last question of the day, and it's called Last Day Quick Service Breakfast. I thought it was going to be Last Quick Service Breakfast, which, I think we had that one show about a couple months ago where it was like if it was going to be your last meal, like going to the electric chair.
We've got one of those, maybe a long time ago. I think we did that,
I thought that's what that was. All right, so it says, hello, BOGP crew. I want to start by thanking you for all the advice you've given me in the past. It's always helped us make the very most of our Disney vacations. I have a question you've answered 1,000 times, but since we're visiting the world in less than a month, I wanted a fresh take.
Okay.
I thought they were looking for a hot take, but
no,
we'll go fresh.
I knew that was coming. Stop. It freaks me out.
I love doing this podcast.
So much.
This podcast is so much fun. Seriously, I could not ask for anything. I love doing this show. On our last day, we are planning to On our last day, we're planning to use our last quick service credits for breakfast before heading to the Kennedy Space Center. What quick service breakfast would you recommend that is outside the parks? Thanks as always, Robbie Beal in Frederick, Maryland. I think too, it kind of matters where you're staying, correct?
Yes.
Because I'd probably, if there's a good option at my hotel, I would probably go there. But I'm trying to think quick service outside the parks.
Where I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going with Captain Cook's. because you can get Tonga toast. Yes. Yeah. Mic drop. Boom.
See,
yes.
I was thinking if you're at either one of the French or the Port Orleans resorts, I go to French Quarter and they have really good. They have a lot. The thing is, it's a wide variety of good breakfast items.
Don't they have like a maple jelly. Sandwich?
Yeah, it's like a gigantic. Like, so if you like the Chick-fil-A chicken minis, it's kind of like that, but it's like a whole chicken breast, like you would get on a lunch or dinner sandwich.
Well, they have those as chicken. They have chicken breast breakfast sandwiches.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, but like at Chick-fil-A, the little bitty things. At French Quarter, it's like it's a full size chicken breast.
They have full size ones.
Oh, at Chick-fil-A? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, anyway, I get them all the time.
I get the minis. But anyway, so
I live down the south.
There
it's
you go.
Fine.
Well, I mean, we have lots of them here. But at French Quarter, get that. It's got maple. Was it like honey maple jam or something on it?
Bacon jam. Oh, I don't know. It had maple in the word bacon in it and chicken.
So
all
good.
That sounds delicious.
That's what I would get. Because the thing is, if you're into that kind of food, it's really good. It's so good. But there's lots of good options. But I mean, you know, the Riverside Food Court has a lot of good options. Even the Art of Animation, Landscape of Flavors. Pretty good breakfast quick service options. But I like Captain Cook's as well. So I think, you know, just look in your neighborhood. But I think most of the places will have a good breakfast there.
Yeah, I think so.
And let me just give you a little hint. When you're on the Space Coast, this isn't Disney, but if you're looking for a good dinner in Titusville, which is the city right next to Kennedy Space Center, Dixie Landings, if you like seafood, go there and get the rock shrimp. It's legendary on the Space Coast. Oh, it's so good.
Love it. It's so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? That's going to do it for today's listener question show. Thank you so much for tuning in here live or for downloading or streaming the show. We appreciate it so very much. Today's podcast, as always, on a Wednesday, brought to you by our friends at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme, Park, News, Disney Edition. Yes. Ricky, what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
So we are reading about the fact that Disney Early Morning Magic is now available at Toy Story Land at Disney's Hollywood Studios beginning September 17th. Guests are going to be able to get to the park before park opening during Disney Early Morning Magic and have exclusive limited time access to Toy Story Land, including Slinky Dog Dash, Aliens Running Saucers, Toy Story Mania, plus character meet and greets. You're also going to be able to take part in a continental breakfast featuring yogurt, fruits, pastries, and assorted cereals, as well as choosing a tasty main dish like avocado toast, so hello millennials, or fried chicken and a cronut with a maple glaze. Speaking of delicious, unhealthy breakfast, this sounds like the perfect plan.
Unhealthy food and Slinky Dog Dash, baby.
Oh, here, my gosh.
Let's go. Hang on.
Seriously, if we talked about the biscuit, this takes that to a whole nother level. It's $79 plus tax for adults and $69 for children.
I was with you till I heard the cost.
I know. See, so here's the bummer. So they have one at the Magic Kingdom as well. That one's only $69 for adults, and you get to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Peter Pan's Flight, and I think Winnie the Pooh.
Old news.
So I know, but I mean, it's a little cheaper, so okay.
You it's might the shipper chicken one. Is what it is. It's, you know, like in the Father of the Bride, yeah.
Yeah, the shipper chicken. You save $10. Yeah, it's fine. So, but if you really want to experience, you know, Early Morning Magic, make sure, or you want to experience Toy Story Land, take part in Early Morning Magic. So, if you really, really, really want to make sure you get in and have a breakfast of fried chicken, cronut, and glaze.
Yes. And then get on Slinky Dog Dash and hang on.
That won't come out in any bad way.
Alien swirling saucers could be dangerous a few times.
Oh, that could be dangerous too. Yes. So here's my tip. Go on the rides first.
No, you're going to want to eat
that
stuff.
Then go have breakfast. Because Toy Story Mania swirls you around too.
That's true. Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that could make you that's... that's something to think about.
Go eat. Go ride the rides first. Go eat. Second.
That's a heavy meal for a lot of spinny stuff. Anyway, well, thank you so much. That's Theme Park News Disney Edition. Lots of great apps over there. Our friends have been with us for years. Check them out. Get your turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, we have a great Amazon affiliate link. It really does help support the show. Thank you to everybody who continues to use that. For all your online purchases, we're all buying stuff on Amazon every day. At least I am. We even have a button in our house that it's in the hall closet. And when we get low on toilet paper, we hit the dash button and bam,
awesome.
And we get 24 rolls. Like, it's crazy. We're so lazy. We don't even get toilet paper in the store anymore.
Can I also share that we've have something now that we haven't had in a while?
What?
Shirts.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I did, yeah. You showed up with a sweet shirt at India. I'm like, whoa, where'd that come from?
I did. So we have had a problem for a very long time in trying to get shirts. So now we officially have VR Guest Podcast shirts. Woo-hoo. That you can go buy. You can go buy all the swag you want with our logo on it. So there is a link on the VRGuestPodcast.com website. I'm also going to put it on social media so you guys can find it as well. But if you want to buy swag with Be Our Guest Podcast logo on it, you can go do so now. Finally, which is something we haven't been able to do in a very long time. But I finally figured out a place that would accept our logo. So, yay.
Jern Mickey ears get you every time. That's how it is. Oh, well. Well, that's cool. Mickey so check ears, them out.
Yeah,
we love it when people buy the shirts. We don't make any really,
that's right. And if you
any
do
money
buy a
on
shirt,
it. So.
Make sure you tag us on social media and yes. We'll share it as well. So yep. That's kind of the whole point of, yeah. That's what I like doing is why
we pretty much sell the stuff at cost just so we can have fun, see people in the park.
That's right.
With the shirts
seeing
on.
People, you get a huge kick out of that. Sharing them, wearing our shirt.
That's awesome. So yeah, please do. So again, I don't think I even said the link for the Amazon thing. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Thanks so much.
Sorry. I beat you.
That's fine. I know. Hey, good stuff. We have all kinds of stuff. We're taking over the world just like Amazon. We just need to sell books and movies.
We are.
We need to be Prime and we'll be good. All right. So anyway, we're going to get out of here now again on Friday. You're going to get a little bit of a different show. It's going to be Ricky and I. We did basically kind of like a rap battle. Have you ever seen like people rap against each other? This show turned into that without the rapping because I can't rap.
We didn't mean for it to turn into really. That either, but somehow it did. Yes.
With me, everything turns into a contest with me. My wife says this all the time. You can't do anything without turning it into something that there has to be a winner and a loser. And that's
we got
me.
Competitive and you will find out who won and who lost.
So there is a battle royale over Disney snacks live on a stage in front of a live studio audience, which you'll get to hear from on Friday. So hope you enjoy the show. We also talk with Steven from Give Kids the World. And you get to hear the winner, one of our listeners' family.
One of our listeners?
I know. How cool is that? I know. For one, I was glad that they were there.
I was awesome. So glad that they were there.
And then somebody it was three things. And they're a listener to the podcast. And they were from St. Louis. They drove in from out of town. So there you go. All right. So that's all.
I will take my butter cake cookies for pulling for your name being pulled. Yes.
Yes, I didn't touch it. I was like, my hands were off because they were. If I had to draw out a few people's names, no way.
Nobody. Not one of us pulled the name. No. Steven pulled the name from Give Kids the World. So our hands are clean.
I was clear that I didn't. My hand never went in that bucket. Anyway, we hope you enjoy Friday's podcast again. It's Labor Day weekend here in the States, so do some relaxing this weekend, and we'll have a show, as always, on Monday for Labor Day just to get you through. We have another trip report, so we've done 3 weeks of the live show hours. We're going to give a break with that, get back to the trip reports, and then get those other shows out throughout the year. But hopefully you've been enjoying the podcast. We love doing this for you. We love doing this with you, and we just love the community that we have. You guys are amazing. We don't tell you that enough, so get out there and enjoy the weekend. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you an awesome Labor Day weekend. Get out there and have some fun and spend some time with those that you love. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.